Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Tonight, not going to have my co-host. He is unfortunately not going to be here. He has a family emergency, so we send our shout-out and prayers to Mr. J and his family. In the meantime, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. You want to get with us, go to the Facebook Smooth Drama page, add us, request to jump into the membership. We will add you back because we want to talk to you. Anywhere, you can Google Smooth Drama, and wherever Smooth Drama is, you can just add us, add me. We'd love to talk to you. I love to talk to you. Also, it's Mr. J is always soliciting for pictures on the low and the high. Smooth Drama at smoothdrama.com. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, or he'll tell you, but I'll speak for him. Pictures. He would love to see pictures of you, ladies and gentlemen. All the gentlemen specifically send your pictures to Mr. J at, no, I'm just playing. Oh, in the meantime, welcome to the Vote for Evil show. As most of you know, last week was the Republican nomination convention, and this week is the Democratic nomination convention, where people from all shapes, sizes, and colors come together to vote for evil people who don't care nothing about them. I know, I'm not supposed to say that, but you look at these two candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. That's like, it's like top five dead or alive, horrible. I mean, you got a woman who, I mean, basically they're like, yeah, vote for Hillary because she's a woman. That's it. That nobody is like touting her because of the great person she is, all the great policies that they love. They don't tout that when they talk about Hillary. They say, hey, she's going to be the first woman. Like, okay, that's why we love Hillary Clinton, because she's a woman. Not her policies, not her glowing personality, none of that. Just, she's a woman. She's going to be president. We're going to have the first woman president. Yeah. Maybe. Meantime, Donald Trump, who I personally don't believe has ever tried to win. I don't think he's trying to win. I think that he's doing everything he can to lose. I know I'm a conspiracy theorist. Folks be like, yeah, you talking crazy. I'm just saying, there's nothing that he's done or said that made any sense for a smart businessman. You say what you want about the Donald, call him racist, whatever. But man's a smart businessman. You don't get there. I mean, yeah, you get there because your family had money, but you don't stay there without a little bit. He got a little bit. He pretend, they'll pretend like they're dumb, but you'll fall for it. And oh, he's so dumb, he's so racist, he'll do this, he'll do that. But yeah, I don't think he's trying to win. I think the setup is Hillary's going to be the first woman president, and all kinds of good things are going to happen for the country because everybody loves her, right? which is why when Bernie Sanders was trying to endorse her, everybody's booing, and he's like, we have got to elect, and I'm gonna quote his words, Hillary Clinton must become the next president of the United States. The choice is not even close. You know, because they say, hey, the alternative is Donald Trump. But I'm like, the alternative is Hillary Clinton, too. It's like, this is a woman that, oh, I got hot sauce in my purse. Why? She get around black folks, she's got hot sauce. She's doing nay-nay. No. No. I never need to see any of that. You know, her on TV eating chicken, talking about I got hot sauce in my purse. That right there means I never would want to vote for her, even if I thought my vote counted. But that's a whole nother story. I mean, because I was reading, you know, they're talking about Bernie Sanders' revolution is beyond his control. And I bring that up because you say Bernie Sanders' revolution is beyond his control. He came out and was talking about change and how we need to change stuff and how Hillary was so awful, which, what, 40, I guess depending on how you want to poll it, a lot of folks agree with him. And those are the folks who are booing, and they're saying, well, they're being illogical. And I'm saying this. Hey, you've told me over the past year how horrible she is. And she has shown how horrible she is. As a candidate, I mean, once again, the saving grace is, well, yeah, her husband could play the flute. They feel sorry for her because he got caught getting his dick sucked by an intern. And, you know, she's a woman. That's all they could say about her. You know, and I'm sure somebody will throw out some facts. Oh, yeah, she's done this. She's done that. She's been so great. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think you're in the streets like, oh, yeah, talking to folks and you're hearing how great she is and how she inspires anything in anybody. I mean, and for me, I'm a Bernie Sanders. If I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter, I'm like, why am I voting for this heifer? I don't like her. Yeah, part of the unity. The point is, you have to earn the vote by addressing my issue. If you don't address my issue, why the hell am I voting for you? That don't make no sense. But we're going to do the dog and pony show, and everybody going to talk about their love for Hillary Clinton. I love Hillary Clinton. I mean, I have more respect for Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was gangster last week. He came out, yeah. I mean, because Donald Trump called him Lion Ted. I hate Lion Ted. He's the worst guy on earth. So Ted Cruz came to the convention, was like, yo, vote for your conscience. Basically, fuck Donald Trump. I ain't come here to love him. I came here because they paid me to be here. I mean, pretty much. It was a funny thing. They're booing. And he's like, yeah, oh, y'all, I don't care about this cat. He called me Lion Ted. Anyway, I thought that was the funniest thing going ever. He just came out and was like, yeah, Kim. Yeah, I guess you can vote for him. I'm not. It was hilarious. That's all I can say. But what was actually funny also, what I saw, the U.S. Navy. They're using Pokemon Go as a recruitment strategy. They're like, they got a poster, and is saying the U.S. Navy has the ability to take you around the world, allow you to play Pokemon Go, and help you achieve the goal of becoming a Pokemon Master. And I'm sitting up here like, it takes me back, because my father's retired Navy. It takes me back to we were on a Tiger Cruise where they take family, friends, whatever, on the cruise. And, you know, mostly the youngsters, it was a bunch of us young kids with our parents. And my father worked in the computer lab. And it's like 5 degrees in there. And I'm like playing on the computer game. And the dude is recruiting me. He's like, yeah, you know, you can make these games. You can design these games. You join the Navy. And I'm sitting up there looking at him like, you know, I grew up on base and I've seen this. And I'm also watching the guys on the ship who are swapping the deck for like 7-8 hours. You know, dude, that all they do is just mop the ship and wipe off stuff on the ship. And I'm guessing they probably was promised whatever the hell. Oh, yeah, you can do this, you can do that. You travel the world. They wasn't offered Pokemon Go because it wasn't around then. But I tell you, if you're thinking about joining the Navy, whatnot, all I can say is I hope you're a coder. Because if you're not a coder, yeah, you're not going to be designing video games. And you're probably not going to be, I mean, you may be able to find Pokemon in them 3 hours that you got free. The rest of your 12-hour shift is going to be swabbing the deck or some other mundane task that you don't want to use or do. I'm just saying, I saw it. It was not fun. It didn't look fun. But you do what you got to do, I guess. I think it's funny. Like, oh, yeah, you can play Pokemon Go and achieve the goal of becoming a Pokemon Master. Yeah. What that got to do with being in the Navy and blowing shit up in other countries?
Nothing.
And speaking of heroes and blowing stuff up, my homie, my personal new hero of the day, maybe even the year, Corey Menefee. Who's Corey Menefee? Corey Menefee is a dining service worker at Yale University. He had charges dropped because he was being arraigned on charges of breaking a window. What was special about this window? It was a stained glass window depicting slaves, not just depicting slaves. The image was of a male and a female slave carrying bales of cotton and smiling. And he said he destroyed the window. And I quote my hero, Corey Menefee, when he says, "It's the 21st century. You shouldn't have to see that." He said it was disrespectful. And I'm sitting up there like, yeah, I wouldn't want to see that either. You know, every day you see it. Because you see these pictures, slaves, and like when folks were jumping on Snoop Dogg because he's like, I don't want to see another motherfucking slave picture. It's like slavery and smiling and all that. But no revolutionary stuff. And a picture of slaves smiling, baling cotton. Those of you don't know, picking cotton, baling cotton was a bloody, painful thing that you had to do from sun up to sun down. You'd prick your hands and your hands would bleed and whatnot. And I know for him, just looking at this picture of black folks supposedly smiling and happy picking cotton in slavery? Hell no. Hell to no. I would have broke that shit too. And if you work somewhere, you see some pictures of slaves smiling, break that shit. Tear that shit up. Cut it something. I'm urging you. I'm begging you. That's our new rule, 2016 and beyond. You see pictures of slaves smiling and shit on these pictures, these walls of these corporate companies, just tear them down. Squirt some ketchup on them, bleach, whatever. Deface them. You'll get off. You get the charges dropped. At least the president said, like, hey, this shit was offensive. See, that's black. See, that's real black for me right there. Real black right there. You know, you want to talk about acting black. That's it. That's all I'm saying. No prejudice. My hero, Corey Minifee. Y'all give a shout out to Corey Minifee. I'm going to look him up on Facebook. Like, you know what? Let me look this cat up and send him some love. Like, yeah, you did the right thing, dog. You are my hero. And everybody, send Corey Minifee some love. Because he did the right thing. And on that note, I'm feeling that black love today. You know, I remember going to a play where it was like, whatever happened to black love, it ain't went nowhere. But just in case you forgot, I'm gonna let one of my old school homies remind us all what it is. This is Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway. Be real black for me.
You don't have to change the thing.
got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Donny Hathaway and Roberta Flack. Be real black for me. You understand what that means? It's like, you know, we all together. Stay together. You ain't got to be fake. You don't need none of that fakeness. Just us be together. Be real black for me. I'll be real black for you, and we can be real black together. Speaking of which, 347-826-7435, call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Fuck the WNBA. Just in case I may have had my words misconstrued last week when I said fuck the WNBA for fining the players for honoring Black Lives Matter and for saying, hey, I mean, because they said we're supporting Black Lives Matter and the cops that got killed. But they was like, you know, we just gonna fine you because you broke the dress code. Even though with the Orlando shootings, it was the same thing. No fine. But I say fuck the WNBA this week because they rescinded the fines, saying, well, you know, it was wrong. We shouldn't have done it. And the only reason why they rescinded it is because the backlash was so negative. Everybody was like, that's some bullshit. And to even make it worse, and this is Tricknology at its finest, how they do, they tried, they write an article talking about how, well, they only did it because it was women protesting. They didn't do that for the men. Nah, it had nothing to do with no division between men and women, whoever wrote that article. I know your name, but I ain't saying it. Fuck you, too. It had everything to do with the fact that black women and black men are agreeing that that shit is fucked up. Killing folk for no reason whatsoever. Innocent folks on all accounts. But it was a subtle thing, and I'm reading this article, and you read other articles where they say, well, if they didn't find the men, but they find the women, like, oh, it was a man's issue or a woman's issue. No, as the player stated, the WNBA is majority black women, so this affects us every day. It is a black person's issue. We say Black Lives Matter. I mean, of course, you're always going to have those folks with that crocodile. Well, what about black on black crime? Yeah, we know. Shit's fucked up. We all want it to end. We all hope that they could see, hey, it doesn't matter whether you blood or Crip, Vice Lord, whatever. Whatever stupid gang you in, to them, you nothing. And we will kill you whether you hate each other or love each other. It doesn't matter to them. Innocent or guilty, it doesn't matter to them. So this is why Black Lives Matter, because, you know, at this point, we don't know what we need to do to not get shot. At this point, because it's every way that you could think to comply has been exhausted, and you're still getting shot. But I'm not done. But I will end with fuck the WNBA, just in case somebody might have missed it. You might have just tuned in. But I also have someone who is near and dear to my heart that I'd like to say fuck you to also. I know I'm cussing a lot, and I apologize if I'm offending you, but I got to say, fuck Michael Jordan. Most people know he came out, and whoever his ghostwriter was, I can no longer stay silent. As a proud American, a father who lost his own dad in a senseless act of violence, and a black man, I have been deeply troubled by the deaths of African Americans at the hands of law enforcement, and angered by the cowardly and hateful targeting and killing of police officers. I grieve with the families who have lost loved ones, as I know their pain all too well. And he goes on to read whatever speech somebody wrote for him. As you know, he didn't write that shit. And I'm gonna stay stuck right here, the same as when I was stuck with your president when he said something similar. He says, I'm deeply troubled by the deaths of African Americans at the hands of law enforcement. But he makes sure to say in the same sentence, and angered by the cowardly and hateful targeting and killing of police officers. Now, let's just analyze that. Deeply troubled by the deaths of black folks, but angered by the cowardly and hateful targeting. And I'm sitting up there like, wait a minute. Because I'm like, bizarro world, we flip-flop here for a second. The cowardly and hateful targeting is done by the police officers. It was troubling that they killed innocent cops. But the hateful targeting, the cowardly and hateful targeting, that comes from the cops. I mean, we've seen every video. I mean, the video's not lying, but for some reason here in America, the video lied to everybody's eyes. Everybody else in the world see it as like, shit, he shot him. I mean, homie's on the ground, and he's got his hands up, please don't shoot me, and he gets shot. Ask the cop why he shot him, he don't know. Now, that's cowardly and hateful targeting of a black man who wasn't even the perpetrator. And, I mean, he comes out with the worst excuse ever. Well, he's not him, but the union chief. Like, well, they wasn't really shooting at him. He was shooting at the autistic guy with the toy truck. Not the autistic guy, not the hardened criminal with a gun, an autistic guy with a toy truck. And he said he was trying to shoot him. And so people know the cop shot 3 times. He hit the black dude once. But he missed the other 2 times, so I guess it's a good thing that he's an awful shot. But he shot 3 times, and he's shooting an autistic guy with a toy truck. See, now, I'm going to say this. It's who they're hiring. Obviously, there are some eye exams that they are skipping. I mean, because I won't say that I have the best vision in the world. I guess it's, you know, eating eating all the male enhancements and the Viagra. I'm playing. I don't eat Viagra. Anyway, the point is, you can't see it's a truck because the officer was close. The officer was not far away, and so we start saying, how are these people not able to discern a toy truck? I mean, I guess if they can't discern a toy gun for a Tamir Rice, but a toy truck. I mean, we've all seen the video, once again, but for some reason, only in America the video lies. Dude with hands up, hey, this kid's autistic, he's harmless, and he's got a truck. I can see it's not a gun, and the video is far away. Far away. It's not like right up on it. So the officers are closer, and a dude sitting on the ground and another dude laying on the ground with his hands up, they're not threatening. There was nothing threatening in that video. So it just goes to show me that we talk about hateful targeting and cowardly and hateful targeting as your words by that guy that sells tennis shoes. And by the way, he comes out and says this because folks not really buying them shoes no more like talking about it. So I guess this is going to boost up his sales. I will never wear a pair of Jordans. I mean, one, I just don't like the way the shoes look. Two, I mean, this is a guy who people have been killing each other over his shoes for three decades. Shit started in the 80s. And it's still going on now. I mean, I watch kids not wear those shoes to play in. They're basketball shoes, but kids don't play in them because it's like, I don't want to mess my shoes up. I'm trying not to cuss here, but it's really hard. It's really hard not to cuss when I think about the fact that kids don't want to play in them shoes because they're so fucking valuable. Ah, okay. I can't. I'm fuck that. I'm sorry. And him coming out, and now he want to come out and say this, like all of a sudden he care about black folks. No. You haven't cared for three decades. If he came out, hey, stop killing each other over my shoes, they probably would have stopped. They'd listen to him because he's one of their magical Negroes that black folks love. I'm just saying. And as I expound on magical Negro over the next few weeks, magical Negroes are the super House Negroes. It used to be House Negroes, but now House Negroes have evolved and they have capes and they're magical. They're like Doctor Strange and Constantine. They have magical powers, whatnot. They make people love their shoes so much that they'll stand in line in the heat to get those shoes, and they'll wear their socks out so they don't mess those shoes up. Magical Negroes do that. They know magic, and they make folks do stupid stuff to love them. Anyway, so yeah, I see that, and I see what they say, and I'm sorry, the cowardly and hateful targeting the cops. I don't know how many times I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it. The cowardly and hateful targeting is the cops. The troubling deaths are the police officers, the innocent police officers. who, hey, they were just caught up in the backlash. This hateful targeting, cowardly targeting, shooting folks who don't have weapons, shooting folks who have zero intention of harming you, are not trying to harm you, just want to live at this point. Please don't shoot me. That's cowardly. I don't know. That's what a coward would do. A coward would shoot somebody who is posing no threat, right? So yeah, Michael Jordan. F Michael Jordan. I'm trying not to cuss. I'm gonna say F Michael Jordan. Because this is the same dude that came out and said, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too. And he never did anything with black folks. I mean, this is a dude that is invested in prisons. Michael Jordan. Not my hero. Yeah, he may have been one of the best basketball players ever, but the humanity part, I'll pass on it. I'll pass. And speaking of humanity and how we do the people we call whistleblowers, Chris LeDay, who was arrested, he's the one who publicized the video showing Alton Sterling being killed by the police. He was arrested the day after. No fishiness. He just found out 24 hours later he was surrounded by the police with guns pointing at him. And he was arrested on multiple traffic charges. The authorities said, and they told the Washington Post, that despite the curious timing, the arrest was unrelated to LeDay's posting of the video. Now, we know that it was retribution, but of course the cops say nah. Now, he claims he paid his traffic violation, but he still hasn't been allowed to return to his job as an aerospace ground equipment technician at Dobbins Air Reserve Base in Marietta, Georgia. Now, there aren't any charges, and he never had a warrant for an assault, and he never had any criminal history, but now he can't work. He was arrested, all that. Handcuffed, shackled. He goes to work and he's detained. Not because he's a criminal, but because he posted a video that showed a cowardly, hateful attack by individuals who have been abusing their powers forever, but who want to come out and say, nah. It ain't even like that. But I'm sorry. Last time I checked, these coincidences that, and it seems like the coincidences, these conspiracy theories that we come up with, they always seem to happen to the innocent and underrepresented good people. What did Chris LeDay do? His civic duty. I mean, if we're gonna talk in public political correct speaking, Chris LeDay was a conscientious citizen reporting on the overstepment, if overstepment is a word, the overstepping of police officers abusing their duties and betraying the public trust. while killing a man who was clearly detained, who was clearly not struggling, who was clearly non-combative, who was clearly restrained. If we've been politically correct, that man is dead. Not because he was shooting at the cops, because he was restrained by the cops, and I guess he took 10 minutes away from the donut run. And Crystal Day, who posted it, loses his job, gets arrested, has his rights trampled on and treated like a criminal because he did the right thing. Don't sit right with me. Shouldn't sit right with anybody. It's not a good look. And on that note, go on a break. This is the homies over in Radio Galaxy. Smells like.
Cup of wine. together you've got smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was the homies over in Houston. Radio Galaxy smells like. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Or you can email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. I may or may not answer your email. I guess it depends on what you're saying. If it's good, I got you. If it's not good, I probably don't got you. I know that sounds prepositionally wrong, and I did that on purpose because I'm gangster like that. Anyway. Oh, speaking of gangster, Irem Sharmila, Indian activist who has been on the fast for 16 years. Irem Sharmila Chanu began a hunger strike after 10 civilians were killed by Indian soldiers in 2000. She went on this hunger strike 16 years ago against a controversial law in the country. She said that she's ending her protest on August 9th. And she's going to begin campaigning in local elections as an independent. What was the law? It was the Armed Forces Special Powers Act, AFSPA, which gives soldiers sweeping powers to arrest without warrants and even shoot to kill in certain situations. Now, she had been force-fed through a tube in her nose for more than a decade. Mind you, she did that because of this Armed Forces Special Powers Act. Now, I bring this up. As you think about it, it sounds familiar. Armed soldiers in the streets with the powers to arrest without warrant, because we've heard that you can get a warrant later now. It's a new law that was just passed. You can pull somebody over you suspect that they're a criminal without the warrant, and then you get the warrant later, which is basically an arrest without a warrant, and even shoot to kill in certain situations. I think we're very familiar with that here in America. We are very, very familiar. So I like to bring this up because sometimes you got to see it as a global thing. Oppression is a global thing. And people who look like you, even though they may not think they're like you, they still are, because we've all been taught that we're different, even though we're not. They suffer under the same oppressive BS that we do. They name the laws differently, but at the end of the day, it's all the same thing. I mean, as we found out, and I don't think many folks knew that SWAT had robots that could go in and blow folks up here domestically. I mean, you would think of something like that in a terrorist area, you know, drones, whatnot. We know about drone strikes, and say if you like had the drone fly in and drop a bomb in the area. I mean, we know now that they do that domestically. It's what happened to the brother in Dallas that was blown up and killed. So, yeah, it's crazy how no matter where you're at, the same mysterious things happen. So shout out to Irem Sharmila Chanu, who's fighting a good fight. They had the force feeder. I mean, I don't know if a hunger strike would work here in the United States, because they wouldn't feed you. They would let your ass die on the vine. I'm quite certain of it. See, if they can shoot you, your ass is is innocent trying not to feed in you here in America, not going to happen. No time soon. And speaking of being international, there's a telescope that they built in Carnarvon, South Africa, called the Meerkat Telescope. And supposedly it could pick up 13,000 galaxies. And it had been under construction since 2009. And, BBC did a little thing on it. Loretu Mbele, who had been to Carnarvon, to find out about Africa's contribution to the international space race. And I'm sitting up there like, really? Telescopes? What the fuck about? I'm sorry, I'm cussing. Who cares? It's real hard not to cuss. Who cares about telescopes? Yeah, I get it. Yeah, we want to explore space and all that. But I'm like, yeah, you building a telescope, can we get some irrigation? Can we get some clean water in this piece? I mean, because we're here in America, we don't have clean water. I'm guessing water, irrigation, stuff like that to everybody on an equal basis would be a little bit more important than sightseeing in space. Oh, look at the pretty stars. I can't take a bath, but I'm looking at the stars. I don't think so. I mean, it's like, where's homie the clown with the sock? Bah, homie don't play that. It's like, really? He's building telescopes. Building telescopes, but you're not building stuff, infrastructure that can help folks live, like building decent housing, things of that nature. We got telescopes, live in a shanty, but we got telescopes. I can see the North Star up close, man. It's beautiful. Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, I thought that was funny. We started talking about that. But what really hit me was there was a California man who wanted to join the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, commonly known as ISIS. He lied to get a replacement American passport to head overseas, and he was sentenced Monday to 15 years in prison and supervised release for life. Adam Dandak had been involving young men and women in states ranging from California to Georgia, trying to assist ISIS and other terrorist groups. This guy was from Orange County, Southern California. He pled guilty last year to attempting to provide material support to a terror group relying on his passport application. And the federal prosecutors had sought a 20-year sentence. Now, I bring this up because like, oh, he was trying to join ISIS. He got 15 years. Now, if he had done that same thing and was recruiting for the Klan, would he have gotten 15 years? Probably not. But it's funny how terrorism, I mean, obviously, folks know when we talk about terrorism, we look at terrorism one way. We see folks that want to help Arabs free themselves from oppression as terrorists. I mean, because basically, you go into somebody's country, bomb them up and expect them not to be mad and retaliate. It's kind of foolish, but that's what it is. Whereas here, the Klan, whose only purpose of existence is to terrorize everybody who is not white. And anybody who's white who loves or cares anything about anybody who's not white. That's the Klan's whole existence. That Christian organization. Terrorists. Been the number one terrorist in America with a bullet for shit. Damn, cussing. Over 150 years. These fools been rolling with it. Just rolling. Rolling in hate. They still here. You can get 15 years for recruiting to think about joining ISIS. But it's freedom of speech to join the Klan. Now, folks will say, hey, it's different. I say, yeah, it's different. Because we know what that is. Black Panthers and all the other black organizations were killed. Wiped off the face of the earth. But these cats, they're allowed to live. They serve no positive purpose. They can adopt highways. The Klan can adopt highways. They want to lynch black folks, but they can adopt a highway. It's not criminal to join the Klan. I can't join them, though. There's no affirmative action for the Klan. And I'm sure there probably have been some super Negroes who have wanted to join. I'm guessing there's quite a few of them like, hey, you know what? I feel the same way you do. Clarence Thomas probably top of the list. Like, hey, can I be in? Please, I do whatever you want, boss. Anyway, on that note, for Mr. J, once again, our prayers go out to him and his family. I am Mr. F the N-Word, and this was another Smooth Drama production. I'll see y'all on the other side. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you've got
Smooth Drama.